All right, we are back with another episode, and today I want to talk to you about living the elevated life, and more importantly, how to live this elevated life, because it sounds nice to say, like, who doesn't want to live the elevated life, right? But unless we have some structure, some practicalities, it can tend to be just a good idea. Or a pie in the sky, wishful thinking sort of way of life. And I believe this is the life you were made for. The elevated life is the life you were made to live. So there's really three components. And I wrote these down, but number one is to develop the dream physique or develop your physical body. I like the dream physique because, to be honest, like, I want to look and feel a certain way as long as I possibly can. Not that it defines me, but it also, but rather it should be a big, it is a big part of how I show up. You know, if I have a talent or a gift and I'm not actively developing that gift or talent, I do feel like I'm leaving stuff on the table. And I don't think we're made to live with things on the table, leaving things on the table, our potential. I believe we're made to run through that and pursue our potential. Number two is building the resilient mind, building a resilient mind. So number one is develop the dream physique. Number two is build a resilient mind. And number three is reignite your spirit. Stay connected spiritually. Have your flame completely, like reignite that flame and have it burn brighter and longer, you know, and take care of that inner fire. Because whether we like it or not, we're more than our body. And we're more than our minds. And so we have to understand that our spirit, the essence of who we are, that part of us that is able to connect with Creator, God, our sustainer of life, that is what fires you up to overcome eternally. Like when things come your way and you are physically drained, you have nothing more to give. Mentally, you are zapped. You're like, dude, I can't keep going. That's when the spiritual, the essence of who you are at your deepest, most core level, that man or woman who is connected to his or her purpose, to his or her creator, doing what you know is in the deepest part of you, your heart, that you were made to do, that is what will sustain you moving forward, right? So we'll jump into it. Keeping it simple, we'll keep it high level. This is what we go through with a lot of our clients within Live Elevated, is we talk about the training, we talk about the nutrition, daily habits, daily rhythms, we talk about the mindset and the spiritual aspect. So I'm going to go through these rather quickly, but I hope to give you a bird's eye view of how to live the elevated life. So if something jumps out to you or if something's new to you altogether, man, awesome. I'm glad. If it just reinforces the simple, effective process that you've embraced, then even better. You know, you're on the right track. So success becomes consistently stepping into that process and trusting that process. So the first thing to really talk about with training is this idea of KISS, the acronym KISS, not the band, but the acronym. And it's keep it simple, stupid. Keep it simple, man. Like, that's the most important aspect of training, because you can't shock the muscles. You know, you can't shock the system into growing or developing. The way to build muscle, and muscle is the motive, is to repeat effective, simple, and oftentimes compound movements. Squats, lunges, presses, pulls, you know, rows, core work. Like, these things are very, very much simple in nature, but they are profound in terms of the results that they can elicit over time as you stay consistent and increase the weight and progressive overload. So muscle's the motive and not cardio. You know, cardiovascular is great for cardiovascular health, but I don't prescribe myself or anybody that I work with, for that matter, a cardio routine. I say, hey, if you need, you know, some clarity, if you enjoy running, perfect, but it's not the best for building muscle. It's not the best for shedding fat, right? couple more things with training is the mind-muscle connection. If you're just throwing up the weight and letting it fall down, if you're on your phone or you're distracted, you probably aren't getting the most of each set. And I'm not sure about you, but I don't like to waste time. So if I'm in the gym, if I'm lifting weights, I want to have my mind and my muscle connected. There's real power. There's real multiplication power to your workouts when you connect your mind to your actual muscle that's being fired, right? Two last things is slow down, right? We often go so fast through training that we tend to not get the most out of it. One way to make any workout harder, more difficult, more challenging, is to slow it down. Slow down your reps. You know, count to three on the way down, count to three on the way up. Very simple stuff, but it goes a long way. It can change your entire training mindset. And the final thing to say is the edge. You know, what we see with Live Elevated, with coaching, is people chronically are around the 4, maybe 5 out of 10 in terms of intensity rating should be pushing themselves harder, whether it's less rest, more weight, or just more working sets, right? So the edge, you should be around that 8 out of 10. Workouts should not be 4 out of 10 because you're not really getting the most out of it. And they sure as heck shouldn't be 10 out of 10 when you're just on the floor dying, you know, and you can't breathe. They shouldn't be like that either. They should be in that happy medium where you're pushing yourself, you're breaking down muscle tissue, and you are progressing forward. Got it? I love it. Moving on to nutrition. Basically, the thing to keep, I'll keep it very brief. The most important macronutrient is protein. Your muscles, gasoline, the fuel your muscles need is protein. So if you're not eating enough protein, you'll tend to overeat because you're hungrier, and your muscles won't be getting what they need to sustain themselves. So when people are in a deficit or on a diet or losing weight, if they're not training with lifting weights, resistance, and they're not getting the protein they need, they just lose body weight, which makes them feel like a smaller version of themselves than they used to be. And that's not the goal. The goal is to have a body transformation, right? Physique transformation. So another tip there is just the energy balance. It's a game of being in a deficit, maintenance, or surplus. Those are the only three states you can ever be in. The goal is to stay in one of those for a good amount of time, week to week to week, month or two or three at a time, and then to reset. The problem happens when people go from a deficit to a maintenance to a surplus, back to a deficit, all within the same week. And they are going everywhere but nowhere because it's just sporadic. So consistency is the goal across all these different aspects, but that's a big tip there is the more consistent you can be with eating the similar foods, getting enough protein, getting enough water, the better off you'll be. And last thing, quick tip, when you're eating out, because you will eat out, I will eat out, that's the nature of life. As much as we want to control everything, the idea here is to, if you are to just take one tip with eating out at restaurants, is take a box home. So the question to ask when eating food is, am I eating for pleasure? What am I eating for, right? Am I eating for pleasure? Am I eating to fuel my body? Am I eating to escape? Am I eating to distract myself? The answer to this question could reveal the potential problem you're having with nutrition. But it's also good to clarify, why are you eating? So for instance, if I'm at my favorite restaurant in the world, Selva's downtown with my wife, and they give me an amazing dinner, if I've already ate a lot of my calories that day, I'm not going to finish the plate if it's gonna stuff me, because I'm eating to fuel my body and not just to indulge and like be completely just, wow, I can't even move, right? That's not the goal. So am I eating to finish the plate, or am I eating to fuel my body? That is the question. So take a box, take the food home, have it, have leftovers. You know, it's worth, to me, excuse me, it's worth hitting your physique goals and feeling better, more confident, more energetic than to finish that plate. Just because it's on the plate, right? Because you need to finish the plate. It makes more sense to be intentional with your fitness, your nutrition, your progress when it comes to your physique and your health. All right. Lots more to get into there, but that's really the nuts and the bolts with nutrition, the high-level stuff. I don't want to spend too much time on that. The last thing is the daily habits, things like walking, breathing, sleeping, time blocking, and reading, reflecting. These things are incredibly powerful. We do these pretty automatically, but the more you can be intentional about that, the better off you'll be. 10,000 steps and hitting a water goal and protein goal, I see massive success in my clients. We see massive success in all of our clients with Live Elevated who embrace the simplicity of daily habits and be relentlessly consistent with them. Moving on quickly to the mindset. So that was the developing your dream physique, developing your best, healthiest version of yourself physically, right? Moving on to the mind, it's really important to talk about a couple of things. One is this idea of moving from the victim to the victor. Now, look, I don't know your life. You don't know mine exactly. But the truth is we all have plenty of reasons to identify as the victim. But is that healthy? You know, is that making us better? Is that helping us grow and heal and progress and ascend and overcome? If it's not, then we really have to ask ourselves the question of, am I really the victim or am I choosing to be the perpetual victim of what something did to me? And so again, this is all truth and love. Like I do not know what you're going through. I do not know how you've been treated. God knows there are unbelievably tragic and just really sad things that happen in life, and I'm not minimizing any of that. But you can choose to stay the victim of that perpetually, or you can say, that's not who I am. That failure, that abuse, that trauma, that's a part of my story, but that's not who I am. In so doing, you are choosing to take ownership, to take back the power of writing your own story. You hold the pen, right? You hold the power to choose to be the victor and say, man, I wouldn't choose to do that again, but I know life happens for me. So what can I learn? How can I help someone else who maybe went through a similar thing because I did this, because I went through that? In so doing, you have become the victor, right? Moving on to the growth mindset. This is seeing things as happening for you. I alluded to it earlier. A lot of people choose to see things as, where's the problem? Where's the weak point? Where's the issue? And they get fixated on that. It's evolutionary. It's built into us from an evolutionary standpoint, a design standpoint, where it's like, hey, we should probably survive. That's the number one thing most important to our day-to-day living is surviving. So how do you survive? Well, you look for the threats. You look for what's going to attack or defeat or ultimately kill you, right? The problem is when we get into a fixed mindset where we only see the problems, we can't see the opportunities, we can't see the abundance that is for us in every given moment. So instead of seeing the solution, instead of seeing the room for improvement, we just get stuck in this fixed mindset where it's like, well, I always have struggled with this, so I'll continue struggling with it. Or my parents really sucked at this and I learned from them, so therefore I'm going to suck at this. Or that's just the way it is. Hey, look, I'm a dad now, and I have a job, and I'm busy, so I can't take care of my health. You know, there's, like, of course, someone who I look to on social media or whatever can do that because they have more time than me, or they have better genetics. In love, that is not the case, because it was never about comparing yourself to other people as much as it is about not making mistakes with your life and making 1% better happen today. Getting stronger, getting better today, making that change. And that comes with a growth mindset. It chooses to you know, see the weaknesses, see the threats, see the problems, but always chooses the second story where it's like, for every problem, there's a solution. For every weak point, there's an opportunity to make it a strength, right? You tracking with me? And the last thing before we get into the spirit is you become what you consume. Actually, there's two more things. You become what you consume. Just like nutrition, what we fill our minds with causes us to become more like those things. So take inventory. You know, what are you listening to? What are you watching? If you're listening to this episode, you made it this far, you're doing yourself a favor. In my opinion, I'm distilling what works for me to succeed as a son, as a brother, as a father, as a husband, as an entrepreneur, excuse me, as a man in general, to be successful. What I've learned, I'm distilling this into digestible, hopefully, points. And I've tried to rush through this, which might have been a mistake, but I wanted to keep it short. So you're doing yourself a favor. But my point is, where do you need to maybe purge your time or your attention and maybe give it to things that build you up, right? Podcasts like this, meditating, right? Meditation, getting quiet, prayer, reading, reflecting, less scrolling, more living. You know, this idea of, you know, we can spend a lot of time on social, but is it always constructive? You know, sometimes we need to decompress, I get it, but what we give our attention to, we become more of. So if it's toxic stuff, if it's hateful things on the internet or on the news, like, you don't think that's going to affect how you feel? Of course it will. So let's do this together. Let's turn off the negative noise. Let's turn on the positive power of good energy, of belief, of faith in God and people, and make this world a better place. It's not going to happen by accident. It's going to happen when you and me intentionally live, when we finally rediscover who we were made to be in the first place and choose to become more of that person and become more loving, become stronger, more energetic, more understanding, more patient, more kind. When we do that, and that ripples into our lives, our careers, our relationships, that's what brings heaven to earth. That's what makes this world a beautiful place. And to not do that is to miss an opportunity and to miss out on the blessing of being a part of what God's doing on earth. That was a word. Moving on, your creative power, and we're getting to reignite your spirit. Your creative power. So we are created to create, right? In scripture, it says that the world was created by God's word, which is Christ, right? The Logos. So it's divine order, wisdom, the secrets of the universe, like the Logos. That's what it is. And so your creative power are your words, are your thoughts. These things hold so much weight. If we knew a fraction of the creative power of the words that we use and their energetic power, the way we actually speak them into existence, good or bad, we would be very, very careful, very intentional about the words we use. Words like, I feel like I'm dying, right? Or even just describing your situation, I'm so sick, I'll never do that, I'll never accomplish X. Those are negative vibrational words. Those are negative energy, low energy words. They keep you stuck. And in fact, they actually, like, sometimes become a self-fulfilling prophecy where you are speaking things into existence. And if it's not positive, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be speaking anything negative into existence. I want to get completely out of the way and only speak positive, only speak good energy, only speak what's going to bring life and love and solutions and community and connectedness to any situation, right? So that is the power of your words. You know, I'm going to attach a resource to the newsletter, but it's this idea of, like, man, the words you say and think hold so much power. You can break through your entire life. So many problems, so many things you're trying to overcome, they can be overcome through your word and speaking it into existence. And I'm not talking about freaking Ferrari in the garage, and if I just repeat it enough times, it's going to show up. But I'm talking, if I wake up and I say a couple things, I wake up and I say, I am known, I am loved, and I am more than an overcomer because God loves me, he gave himself for me, And that's who I am. I am beloved. I am His. I belong. That is amazing. So to live as Christ in that way, where you are literally, God is living through you by faith in this world, which is amazing. And last but not least is reignite your spirit. Now, again, you know I'm a Christian. So when I say these things, I'm trying to keep it very general as well, keep it very universal. But y'all know my faith is in Jesus Christ, my King, my Savior. He lives through me by faith, and I am loved. I am more than an overcomer through Him. I'm more than a conqueror. But I am aware that people have different beliefs, and that's cool. That's okay. That's actually amazing that there's diversity in people's backgrounds and thoughts and everything like that. I thought one of these weekends, I was thinking, you know, if our belief system, whether it be Christianity, Buddhism, Islam, Taoism, atheism, whatever theism or atheism, that, or whatever theism or if you're atheist, doesn't matter the belief for this idea that if you don't become more loving, if it's not making you a more loving person, we probably need to readjust or maybe recalibrate on what we believe, right? Because if the essence of this life and this created order, this world is love, if God is love and we are not becoming love, then we may be in need of rethinking what we believe. We may be off. So there's no, for me, it's like I want to grow in the awareness of I am always learning. I'm never right about everything. You know, I never want to feel like I have all the answers. Like, so please hear my heart on this. I want to empower you and encourage you and coach you in a way. But I also do want to say, like, I want to grow in love, in wisdom, in strength. And so whatever you believe in or don't believe in, I love you. And I want you to become more you. And when I say that, I mean the person God made you to be. I can't define that. Like, He knows, God knows, He made you. Talk to Him. But anyway, aside from all that, this is my point, is this is universal truth. Your purpose, how do you reignite your spirit, your inner man, your inner woman? You rediscover your purpose. Why are you here? What is God doing? What is the highest good doing through you on earth? What is that? Because that's your purpose, right? I believe my purpose is to love and be loved, right? I believe my purpose is to, I just had a brain fart, but I believe my purpose is to do those two things, to grow in my awareness of who I am, right? And to make the world around me a better place by sharing the gifts that He's given me, developing those gifts and sharing them, you know, being an empty hose, if you will, to allow His power, His spirit, His love to flow through me effortlessly and freely. So the more I have these ego or selfish desires or thoughts or maybe anything that's constricting that flow of God in my life, it's going to make it less powerful, just like a hose. If there's buildup, if there's, you know, calcium buildup, I'm not sure why my head went there, but if there's buildup in the hose, God's power is not going to flow through you as powerfully and freely. So rediscovering your purpose, why you're here, your unique talents, gifts, personality, that's why you're here. So rediscover that. Excuse me. As we conclude, love and passion. I believe that my passions that are in my heart on the deepest level are there for a reason. I love the quote where it connects the purpose and the passion, like where your deepest gladness and the world's greatest need meet, that is your purpose. Your purpose is where your deep joy, your deep passion, what makes you feel alive and reignites your fire, what fuels your fire, and then what the world needs, the connection between those two, is what you were put on earth to do. So that's really cool. I think with that being said, what happens, at least in my life, and what happens for a lot of people, I believe, is those passions, those desires are misdirected. they're directed at stuff that won't bring the best out of us and won't be for the good of the world. They'll be selfish, they'll be isolated, they'll be maybe even toxic, right? Because for instance, pleasure. Hey, pleasure's a great thing. It's natural to want to feel good, to do things that make you feel good. But take pleasure and make that your God and do everything you possibly can to feel good, to experience pleasure, and you will come to the end of yourself. You will give up. You will say, what? This is like chasing after the wind. It's like trying to catch water. You'll be in the exact same place that King Solomon in Proverbs came to, or Ecclesiastes, I'm sorry, came to when he realized, man, to seek pleasure is to chase the wind. It is a vapor. Just when you think you got it, you miss it. You lose it. Now, that being said, like I said, right? Misdirected pleasure. Put it into God. Put it into the good of other people, the good of yourself. Pleasure is not a bad thing, right? But it's just misdirected in our culture. And last thing, and I'll close, is community. We need community. We need each other. We're built for each other. In fact, living alone is one of the, you know, doing life alone is one of the recipes to depression. It's one of the best ways to feel alone and depressed and sluggish and purposeless because life just became all about you. And that can be very soul-sucking. I've experienced that, like 100%. So how can you get plugged into community, right? How can you sign up for that social event or, you know, get plugged into a co-ed sports league, sand volleyball, a workout group? Like, we have stuff here locally that we do. But what's that for you? You know, is it an online community? Is it in person? Is it both? Is it a hybrid? Are you going to a church or a group that is talking about real stuff and not like just partying their face off and, you know, talking about how wild their night was and, you know, how they almost got arrested and some stuff like that? Empowering and positive community is what helps you grow as an individual, as a man or woman who is made for more. So that, my friend, is how you live the elevated life. You are always doing these three things. You're building, you're developing your dream physique. You're taking care of your physical health. Number two, you are building a resilient mind. You are developing, cultivating a winning mindset. And number three, you are reigniting your spirit, the deepest part of who you are, what makes you come alive. And when you set your soul on fire and you go out and share that with the world and be who you were made to be, you will flip the world upside down. God will do so much through you that it'll be surprising even to you. So with that said, I hope this encourages you. Share this with a friend. This is how to live the elevated life. Thank you for watching. I appreciate you. I love you. And let me know if I should do more of these video podcasts. All right? Until next time, live elevated and get and stay fit for life. Peace.